We're back on Bluegrass Bios. This is WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Lexington is swooning again.
Today's been a good day for me.
Maybe even more so. We're joined in studio by Sam Wolbert. He's the executive director of the Paris Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS. And also with us is Jenny Clay. She's a foster coordinator for PAWS. And they brought in a friend. It's Clara. She's a 10-month-old beagle mix. She does not bark. She's very well behaved, and Lexington is currently feeding her treats.
Yes.
So we'll get to her portion of the interview later on. But first of all, thank you guys for coming in today.
Thank you for having us, Kyle.
Yeah, so the reason that you're here is that there's a we've been talking a little bit about this documentary that's coming out, or that you're screening next month. Could you explain to our audience what The Champions is about?
Absolutely. Well, once again, thank you for having us. The Champions is a documentary sponsored by Best Friends Animal Society, which is a national animal rescue organization. It features the Michael Vick dogs and kind of their journey after he was caught, after the dog fighting ring was busted, and what they had to go through to become loving family animals.
Okay. Maybe you could tell us also what your organization PAWS does to the audience. Sorry.
Yeah, so PAWS is an open admission shelter located in Bourbon County, Kentucky. We take in all the county's stray and abandoned animals and try to find loving homes for all of the adoptable animals that come through our door. Unfortunately, a lot of times we get pit bulls that kind of stay in the shelter. There's a stigma associated with the breed, and that's why we wanted to highlight some of the positive parts of this breed. And I think the movie The Champions shows that there's nothing to necessarily be afraid about with pit bulls. They are just like every other dog. They are known as being a fighting dog, and things like Michael Vick's dog fighting ring doesn't help their image. However, what this movie shows is their journey and how they come to actually be good house dogs.
I do want to break down the some of the Michael Vick stuff at least superficially, so that anybody, this we're talking about something that was in the news cycle in 2007, which is like 100 years in news years. So jumping right in then, let me back up again. I'm all over the place. How did you guys get together with the Best Friends Animal Society? What's the relationship there like that brought this screening together?
Go ahead.
It's actually through a separate organization, TUG, that kind of brings shelters like us, or animal rescue organizations like us, and partners with local theaters. So that's why we are partnering through TUG with Kentucky Theater to bring the screening to you.
Okay, so the Champions, just so we can cover a little bit about this pit bull breed misinformation. It's about the aftermath of the illegal dogfighting operation by former Atlanta Falcons. Actually, he doesn't work for anybody right now, but he was a NFL quarterback, Michael Vick. He bankrolled at his home in Newport News, Virginia, around, I've seen anywhere from 50 to 70 dogs, mostly pit bull terriers, recovered from the facility. Vick was indicted on federal charges, and after all the animal abuse at the so-called Bad News Kennels, a lot of people thought maybe these dogs should be put down instead of being rehabilitated. So maybe you could explain to our audience what happened there.
Yeah. So what was important about this incident is before the common procedure for any dog in a dogfighting ring was to be euthanized. After the Michael Vick dogfighting ring was busted, a group of organizations like Best Friends came in, and they where because of the stature of Michael Vick, because of all the media attention, because of his celebrity, it actually helped to promote some of these dogs because he was ordered to pay for rehabilitation. So before, these dogs would have just been put down almost on the spot. Now you had money. Now there's a kind of a social movement to help these dogs. So it was the first time that this ever got national attention and got very, it was a very big story, as you mentioned, Kyle. And what came of this is these organizations, many of which were themselves conflicted on whether or not they wanted to promote these dogs because of the stigma, even among animal advocates at the time. They went into this process thinking they might be able to save one or two. What happened is they saved nearly every single dog.
Wow.
So this movie just shows the resiliency of the pit bull breed and what they have gone through. And also it kind of dispels some of those myths that this is only a fighting breed, that they can never be good around kids, that they are, that they lock jaws and just attack everything. Yeah. So this is, the movie highlights some of those positive parts that we in the animal welfare movement see every day when these pit bulls come through our door.
Okay. So this is something that you see in Bourbon County as well.
Absolutely. We get pit bulls all the time that are friendly and have well-mannered dispositions. However, because the public has a negative impression of these dogs, they can languish in our shelters and stay there for much longer than what they should. And I think it's important, everyone who's ever been around a pit bull comes at it from the same way. I know personally, before I met pit bulls, I used to be afraid of them too. And then I wound up adopting one who's just the most loving and caring dog that I've ever met. So even people in our movement, in animal welfare, in animal sheltering, they all come to pit bulls at the same impression. And so we would just like to promote how good of a breed they actually are. They're just like every other dog. Right now, Clara is sitting in Lexington's lap. It just so happens to be she's a beagle mix, but if we had a pit bull, she would be doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
She'd just be a little bit bigger. And
she might not fit.
Yeah. A little bit harder.
She likes very relaxed, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's the thing is that dogs are animals. They're all have a defensive or a predatory nature, but pit bulls kind of get the bad rap for it.
Exactly. And that goes to a lot of what, there are millions of dogs owned by people throughout the United States, and you only hear about the stories from a handful of bad animals. What you don't hear and what you don't necessarily see is that there are countless of other dogs every single day who are friendly and have great dispositions. You don't hear those stories. And so we would just like to promote, you know, what we see every day, which is that those dogs are just like any other dog. They are, they're in need of loving and compassion's home, just like all the other dogs that come through our doors.
So why are pit bulls then the chosen breed for this sort of illegal activity? Thank you again, Lex.
Sorry, I've tried to help you out, and I've been wrong every time.
How much time do we have today, Kyle? No, there are plenty of a lot of literature on this, and I'll try to sum up as best as I can. But throughout history, there has always been breeds of dogs that have kind of been scapegoated. In the past, you had bloodhounds, because that's what some of slave owners would use is bloodhound dogs. In the 1930s, there were German shepherds. Also in the 1960s with the civil rights movement, they showed German shepherds attacking crowds of people.
Doberman pincers.
Yes. With Cujo, there was Rottweilers. So now it is the pit bull's turn.
Okay.
And it used to be pit bulls were seen as a family-friendly dog. I don't know. I know Little Rascals is way before my time, but the dog on Little Rascals was a pit bull. Yeah. They were always seen as a loving, caring dog. And then around sometime in the 1970s, 1980s, the image started changing. They became associated more with an urban environment, with gangs and street fighters. And they were seen more as protection as opposed to a family dog.
Well, if you can breed in something like fur color or hip dysplasia, are you saying that that aggressive attitude does not necessarily get bred into the, because they're called, correct me if I'm wrong, pit bulls, because they used to bring down bulls, right, by that ring that they'd have around their nose. Is that not the history of their breeding?
To be honest, I don't know exactly the history of their breeding.
That might be apocryphal anyway, ladies and gentlemen. Google it. Google it yourself. But so what you're saying, I guess, is...
I'd like to actually, if you don't mind, Kyle, I'd like to kind of touch on that point, is that there is a lot of that kind of information about the pit bull that's kind of spread through rumor and innuendo, not saying that that's necessarily one of those stories, but you hear that they have locking jaws, that they have the most powerful jaws of any dog.
More bite pressure per square inch than any other breed.
Exactly. And a lot of this has just been proven false. There's been a recent study that shows bite pressure is associated more with weight. So pit bulls they're a relatively big dog. They top out around 60 pounds, but there are plenty of dogs that are much larger than that. So these are the kind of things that you hear and they get kind of spread around, but they aren't necessarily true.
So it ends up being really the nurture versus the nature for any breed.
Yes, exactly. And I think that, like you said, that's the same through any breed. In our day-to-day work, unfortunately, because we are in open admission shelter, we do get some aggressive dogs. And that's true of any breed. It's not just true of pit bulls. We get aggressive larger dogs, smaller dogs. And it's all how they're raised. And that's why we also promote responsible ownership. Just having a dog doesn't mean you can have a dog and tie it to a tree. You want to love the dog, feed the dog, care for the dog. It's part of your family, and those dogs that are treated as such are the ones that are going to be very, they're going to reward you in a friendly way as well. The ones that aren't, the ones that are tied to the tree, left alone, neglected, those are the ones that you unfortunately hear in the stories so often.
Sam Wolbert, Jenny Clay, and Clara in for PAWS. That's the Paris Animal Welfare Society. You can get more information about them at, hang on a second, I've got it here, pawspets.org. They're sort of, what would you call it, just a collegial organization, bestfriends.org. Part of a, all right, wait, you know what, I'm crossing them out. They're not, they didn't deign to show up. But if you want information on the documentary, you can go to championsdocumentary.com. It's being shown one night only screening at the Kentucky Theater, Thursday, August 18th.
I can say, please. You also you have to buy your tickets beforehand. So tickets stop going on sale on August 4th. Yes. So okay. Make sure to reserve your spot today before it's too late.
And you can get those through your Facebook page?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to facebook.com/pawspetsky, and more. You'll find all the information to the event through there.
So does this movie focus more on the animals, or is this like a O.J. Made in America of Michael Vick?
It focuses on the animals. It's the Michael Vick story is the start. It's the backdrop of why we're all there. But for the most part, it's the animals and their redemption.
Does our little girl in here, what kind of story does she have?
So Clara is a foster dog. She lives with another beagle mix. Unfortunately, the beagle mix she lives with is a little bit more high strung, so I thought it was better just to bring along Clara. She came to us through a different county. We transferred her in from an outside county. Unfortunately, in Kentucky, for those that aren't aware, American Legal Defense Fund ranks Kentucky 50 out of 50 states for animal protection. So while there are a lot of great people doing great work, we do come across some of those other counties that aren't as well funded. So we in the sheltering try to help out whenever we can.
What goes into that statistic, like spaying, neutering, amount of no-kill shelters? Like, how do we get a 50 out of 50?
The statistic generally through the ALDF, because they are a legal organization, focuses more on the legislation front.
I see.
And a lot of the laws in Kentucky are a little bit more backdated.
What are some of the most abhorrent?
Up until recently, and I should have checked this before I came, but up until very recently, Kentucky was one of the only states that did not have a severe felony penalty for dog fighting. Mm-hmm. I think that is changed as of recently, but that's just one of those examples.
Is there a... Have you heard in your time working for in animal welfare, maybe not to the scale of Mike Vick, but are there dog fighting rings that get broken up on occasion in Kentucky?
In Kentucky, I can't speak to that. I'm not as familiar with those, but you do hear almost, you know, every few days there's a large ring that gets busted. But I think it's also important. Yes, I was just going to say, it's not just dog fighting that is a problem, but puppy mills. A lot of those dogs don't get any socialization, so they get rounded up and come to organizations like us without any prior human contact, which makes them obviously candidates to be aggressive dogs as well.
What makes you guys different from like a humane society?
Like the Humane Society of the United States?
Yeah, well, or? like different shelters or something like that, you know?
Well, I think in some ways, everyone in the sheltering community has the same goal. We're all trying to rescue as all adoptable dogs. Eventually, I think that in a perfect world, there wouldn't be dogs that pass away in shelters. I don't know necessarily if there are things that set us apart from some of the more reputable organizations, because we all do the same thing. We're all rescuing dogs. We're all taking them in, giving them love and care and attention.
What can you tell people who are interested in fostering? What are the options there? Is it... Jenny, this is your level of expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, you kind of have to explain what exactly fostering is, because I think a lot of people are under the impression...
Get right up on that.
Yeah, they're under the impression they don't really know. They kind of think that fostering is just, you know, taking a puppy home for a night or just general volunteering. But fostering is basically whenever you take those animals that either have been in the shelter for a while, or maybe you're on the mend because of health issues, or puppies or kittens, smaller animals, and you try to get them out of the shelter environment for a little while, because while we do everything we can to keep them comfortable, to make sure they have a wonderful life, and the shelter life isn't exactly a permanent life for these animals. Ultimately, we want them in homes, and so anytime we can get them out of the shelter environment, free up some space to hopefully bring in some more animals whose lives we can save, and kind of give them a vacation, let them stay in a foster home for a while. You know, we try to do that as much as we can. So we are currently kind of trying to recruit some fosters, get some people who want to take some puppies, some kittens, some maybe some adult dogs who have been in the shelter for a little while, take them home for a few weeks and take care of them, maybe help us find them a forever home.
So you can have a trial basis that you can work on somewhat.
Well, you can do that as well. So the idea originally with fostering is that you just hold on to them until their forever home comes along. And we actually have a program we're starting called Adoption Ambassadors. It is through a grant with the ASPCA that basically challenges our fosters to take their animals out into the community, hit the pavement, and actually try to find those forever homes. So in that way, the fosters can be involved, but we do also have foster to adopt, where, yeah, you can take them home for a couple weeks, foster, see how it goes, and end up adopting. Which a lot of times when somebody fosters, they end up adopting. We lovingly call it foster fail, but obviously it's not really failure, because they do get a nice forever home.
I think everyone who's ever worked in the animal sheltering community or who's ever been a foster eventually fails. I know I've done it, and I think everyone else I know has eventually been a foster fail.
I'm well on my way. I feel sure of it.
What are the factors in that?
You get a dog or a cat that you just can't let go. And you hang on to him.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Lexington is about ready to join the ranks.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I see. So it's a failure in that you've only got so much space in your house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it can be hard to be a foster. It's not something that is easy. You get attached to these animals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They come to your home. They're just like family. And then at the end of whatever period it takes for them to get adopted, they go off. Kind of like a child going to college. You wish them luck and you hope for the best. But at the end of the day, you really aren't sure. And it can be sad. It can be very bittersweet because at one hand, they're finding their forever home. On another hand, they're leaving you. So it's very rewarding. It can also be emotionally challenging too.
Yeah, so we try and remind our fosters that whenever they're having those days and they say, I just don't think that I can keep doing this, you know, bring these animals into my home, loving them and setting them free. We try and remind them that when you're adopting, you're saving one life, and that's awesome. But when you foster, because you're helping us free up that space in the animal shelter, you're literally helping us save multiple lives, all sorts of animal lives. So fostering, it takes a very special person, and we appreciate our fosters so very, very much.
How difficult is it to find the forever homes? Because, I mean, look, you walk down the street and, you know, 9 out of 10 people love cats and dogs, and that 10th person is a monster. So, do you guys feel backed up, or is the sort of influx, outgoing, for lack of a better concept, pretty steady?
So we try not to look at it in that way.
Of course not. I'm the monster.
I think there's room in every home to be educated about the benefits of owning a dog or a cat and to learn. Because, listen, no one is perfect. There's not a perfect dog owner out there, and there's room for everyone to improve. So what we would like to do is reach out to that 10th person, as you mentioned, and kind of educate them on what it means to be a responsible dog or a cat owner. It doesn't just mean you have a cat and it sits outside. You have a dog and it sits outside. It means that you bring them in. You treat them as part of your family.
Do you have trouble finding even the good people to come and adopt for forever?
We have done, our adoption rate through this year is double what it was at this point last year. So we are doing great work. We have a great community. We do a lot of adoptions through PetSmart here in Lexington, as well as our shelter. So we work with the community, and we've had great relationships with that community. So sometimes there are dogs, like we've mentioned, usually pit bulls, even hounds like Clara, because there's so many in this area that stay in the shelter a little bit longer. But for the most part, we have a great relationship with those adopters.
Look at that sweet girl. Lexington's having the greatest day ever.
Great.
We're in studio with Sam Wolbert and Jenny Clay. They're of the Paris Animal Welfare Society. That's pawspets.org. They're here to talk about get you to go see the movie The Champions, which will be screening on August 18th. That's a Thursday at the Kentucky Theater in downtown Lexington. You can reserve tickets at tug.com/events. You can go to their Facebook page as well. Do so before August 4th. Did I get all that in?
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. I also want to, before I forget, after the event, West 6 has been gracious enough to let us come and speak about the pit bulls. It's not a dog-friendly event, but we'll have some information about our adoptable pit bulls. Chipotle. Yeah, that's
the difference. Let's be honest.
Chipotle has been gracious to donate some chips and salsa and guacamole. So there'll be light refreshments as well as some great beer from West 6.
All right. Sam's going to get you drunk, and you're going to wake up in the morning with 10 dogs in your house.
Yes. And a couple cats, too, I hope.
Yeah, Lexington might be sleeping on your couch as well. All right. So we're going to go take a break for a minute. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. All All right, we're back on Bluegrass Bios. This is WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio on 95.7. I just realized I never say the 95.7 part. On 95.7, ladies and gentlemen.
But not for long.
Not for long. That's a really good... Thank you, Ben.
15 more minutes.
Your instincts are improving. Yes.
I agree.
So this is a special... two episode week for us because, as the Benjineer mentioned, this is our last show on WLXL, the Latin speaking station portion of Lexington Community. Yeah. So on Friday, we're going to start at noon and go to 2. So all of our adoring fans out there.
You can sleep in.
Yeah.
An extra hour.
Who, I get to?
Everybody does.
Oh,
everybody.
Good. Well,
everybody wins.
I'm looking forward to the parts where this helps me. There's another good thing that was pointed out to me, which is for event stuff, like upcoming weekend stuff, it'll be more relevant for us to do
right
before than do it several days earlier. So I'm happy about it all the way around. Lexington doesn't have class on Fridays.
No, I'm...
So, but she was upset that we're going an hour later because you were going to start traveling. Is that what you said?
Well, not traveling, but like, you know, one of my best friends is getting married and she lives in Missouri. So I was going to, you know, skip out of town and go see her for all her wedding events. And
where in Missouri?
Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah. Not St. Louis.
Like, you don't need to rush to get there.
Okay. I liked it.
The last thing we do here, I guess, is going to be talk about. So you have are you really going to adopt that dog for real?
I am not, but I have someone in mind for her.
Oh, okay.
That I want them to.
You're going
to
matchmake.
I'm matchmaking puppies right now.
That dog was so happy just sitting there.
She sat in my lap.
Borderline sedated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She kind of gave me a look because I moved my arm at one point and she was like, no, like that was my headrest, put it back.
So you fell in love all day today.
Oh, I am just
this is pretty much as good of a welcome back as we could have.
Yeah,
best
yeah.
Welcome back ever.
Sweet.
I wanted to, well, have you ever had a dog before? I mean, I guess you did. You grew up on a farm. You must have had a dozen dogs.
Oh yeah, we have a ton of dogs. My parents right now have two German Shorthair pointers who my sister and I joke, but sometimes it's not always a joke, that my parents love them way more than they love us. My mom says it's because the dogs don't talk back.
Shout out to you, Jenny.
Right. But we've always had dogs. We've always had lots of dogs. My childhood dog was a chocolate lab. And my mom always had corgis. Those were our family dogs.
Okay. So. I'm trying to imagine what a corgi looks like.
You know what the queen has? They're like half a dog. How do they describe it? Half a dog high and two dogs wide.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
They've got short little legs and little
They're in
fluffy
like
booties.
They're all over memes, right? Isn't that dog that's like laughing? Like the bad joke telling dog? Isn't that a corgi?
Yes.
Okay. I have that firmly implanted in my head. I am also a lab guy. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a black lab named Gus, and I teased to you guys off the air that I was going to tell a family pet story. It's been upsetting lately because my landlord, who is that 10% monster, or maybe he just doesn't want his stuff ruined, wouldn't let me get a dog, but karma would have it that my next door neighbor just got like a 6 week old puppy a few days ago, and has given me free rein to as much puppy time as I want. Aww. And I think that having a pet, a dog or cat, you know, most people have preferences. It's like good for the soul.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
It's calming. You have someone that loves you no matter what.
Yeah.
And as a kid, you learn how to take care of something.
Yeah. Really.
It's invaluable.
So my dog Gus was a maniac. he would, we had a 7 foot tall privacy fence around my backyard as a kid, and he would chew off the bottoms of it so that he could escape.
We had something similar. We had the next door neighbor's dog dig under
the dig.
And then that dog was so big, my dogs fit under there perfectly. So it was just,
it was a
perfect story.
Well, dig under, like, that's sort of that's a path of least resistance thing that I can understand. This was
this was just chew.
This dog's like a cannonball. Nice. So,
he'd just launch himself into the fence.
And would have to have people bring him home, you know, hours later. Yeah, but anyway, this was my dad's dog when he was sort of, I guess, about my age.
Mm.
Right around when I was born. But he would take Gus to the park and on a leash where he belonged. But he always tells a story about how he and Gus went to the park one day and there was a big hill drop off, right? So they'd be at the top of it, and then this hill goes down, big slope, you mm-hmm. know, several stories down. And they're walking along, and all of a sudden they can hear, or he can hear laughter, like kids laughing, right? And kites, like he can see kites over the horizon of this hill.
Mm-hmm.
So not being really prepared for it, Gus takes off down the hill and my dad freaks out because it's not like, I mean, Gus is not, he wasn't like a bad dog. He was mm-hmm. just, he didn't know his own strength and he could play too rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, my dad freaks out. He's thinking, I'm going to get sued. And climbs over, gets to the crest of the hill, looks down and sees Gus just running around in circles and no kids to be found anywhere. Now, there were some woods pretty far back, but the way this dog ran was like Usain Bolt. Like, there's no way anybody would ever be able to get away. And yet, whenever he stood at the top of the hill, there was nothing down there. So that's my Gus ghost story. It's really the, he's a good pet. And I encourage anybody who can take in a cat or dog, but especially a dog, that you should do so. I know that I would if I had the opportunity. Puppy time notwithstanding.
Well, I had two dogs growing up. We had Casey and Cassie, and we didn't name either of them. We would never do that to ourselves. They just came. That's how they came to us. Dogs named Casey, and then a few years later, Cassie just showed up at the doorstep. And the most difficult thing was if you called one, she would go hide because she thought she was in trouble, and then the other one would come running. Like, what do you want to see her for? What am I, chopped liver? So if you called one, the other one came and the other one ran.
Wait, they had the most.
It was backwards. It was just completely backwards.
So they were able to discern the difference.
They knew the difference between their names, and they responded to the other one being called. It made life very difficult. And one was, you know, just out of the womb, knew how to fetch, knew you threw the ball. She was supposed to go get it, bring it back to you, drop it at your feet. The other one, you'd throw a ball, and she would just watch it.
So you were saying they were already named because you'd adopt them.
They had come from other, they'd come from other, actually, they came from other families.
That's always the, like, there's a, what's the word am I looking for? You guys wouldn't know because it's in my head. It's like the issue between, because everybody wants to have, like, a puppy that's, like, the breed that they choose that they can raise from scratch, right? But that ends up being, first of all, most of the time, pretty economically difficult. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a husky puppy or something, like, that's going to cost you probably $3,500 or something on top of, often they have those, because of, like, unscrupulous breeders, you can end up getting a lot of inbreeding or something, which will lead to health defects and all that kind of stuff. So it'd be nice, right? Because I imagine, like, I imagine my full breed beagle dog or whatever that runs around with me, because they kind of just look better, right? Or you're used to the archetype of a dog breed instead of a mutt. But that ends up, like, because these guys, like the people at Paws, they they're adopting. Like, that's, I guess this is a long way of saying, like, that's kind of the moral way to do it. Like you mm-hmm. did, and like, you know, like my family did growing up. I remember my mom, after Gus passed, went to go to the Humane Society mm-hmm. To adopt a German Shepherd. We've been mm-hmm. talking about a German Shepherd for months, man. And she comes back with this little, mom, I know you're listening, and but you know we all hated that dog. This little kind of rat, hairy dog that looked like, Ben, you might be old enough to know Benji.
Of course.
It looked like Benji, right? Oh, okay. But totally antisocial, not fun at all. Everyone hated that dog. But and regardless, that's
one thing you have to be careful of. You also got to be careful when you go to a shelter that you don't get a dog that really needs borderline therapy for what it's been through in its short little life.
Well, I think that's one of the benefits of this foster program is that if you're in a position to foster a dog, you can kind of be that puppy therapist.
Yeah.
But they do take a lot more effort. Right. Than they do, so you have to go in with your eyes open a little bit, because a lot of them bite, a lot of them like running away and stuff. So you've got to be
somebody that on the front end, but and right. also
often
part
they
of this,
don't tell you
all part of this thing. Well, that would be bad, but you know, like with
I've
this
run into it.
With this movie that they're here to talk about, you know, even these dogs who have been at the absolute height of physical abuse have been able to be rehabilitated.
And
a dog will, like, I completely agree with Lex. Like, if you have somebody who's fostering, like, they're kind of a semi-professional dog therapist, you know, like they'll have seen it enough of a dog that nips too much that they'll actually be interested in the training, or, you know, watch enough Caesar Milan to try to correct that.
And one of the great things about dogs and animals is that the best therapy is just love. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not like you have to go to school for this. You just have to love unconditionally.
Yeah. They're like receptors to it.
Yes.
Our old best friends.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, unless you have any opposition, mm-hmm. I'm going to say this.
I think we're good.
We're going to sign off for Bluegrass Bios for this Tuesday. For this frequency, 95.7 WLXL LPFM Lexington Community Radio.
Adios.
But we will be back. There
mm-hmm.
you go. We will be back on Friday, so tune in to 93.9 WLXU Lexington Community Radio to hear more of Bluegrass Bios. I would tease who's going to be on that show, but I have no idea who it is yet. So have a good week, Lexington. And Lexington.
Okay.